Right, let's open up our Bibles to Matthew chapter 7. We're spending just a couple of weeks in this series that we call Paradoxology, and it's a series that we will pop into for a few weeks and then pop back out of, and it is when we explore some of the difficult sayings of Jesus, some of the hard things that Jesus said that may not only be hard to understand, but sometimes are even appear to be offensive at first. And so next week we'll kick off our series in 1 John called Doctrine and Devotion. But today we're wrapping up with Matthew chapter 7, verse 6. Here is the word of God. Jesus said, "Do not give dogs what is holy, and do not throw your pearls before pigs, lest they trample them underfoot and turn to attack you." This is God's word. Let's pray. God, would you help us this morning to not just properly interpret your word. We want to receive it with gladness. God, would you open up our hearts to rejoice in the truth. We ask that you would convict us wherever necessary and that you would encourage us wherever we need it. God, we want to experience your work through your Spirit and your word today, to be transformed into the image of your Son, and we lift our time up to you. We lift ourselves up to you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Pastor Brian loves it when I use him in analogies. So, is he even in here? He was here first service. He's not even here. Awesome. So, if you go to Pastor Brian's house, he has a lacquered box on a piece of furniture out in the living room. And if you open the lacquered box inside, it's lined with Spanish cedar. And it has a hygrometer in there that tells you what the humidity level's at, and he has a humidification device, so you know what he keeps in that box, right? He keeps in cigars in there. And he will offer them to people when they come over if he thinks they might like that sort of a thing. And if you open it up and look inside, there's a divider. There's cigars on the left and cigars on the right. And the cigars on the left, for all you noobs who don't know what you're doing with cigars, they're not the expensive ones, they're not the really nice ones, they're all right, you know. But you don't want to give an expensive cigar to a guy that's never smoked one, maybe he won't like it, or to some guy that rarely smokes, he'll smoke a little bit and throw the rest away, so he kind of separates them out. That's just common practice, right? Because giving something to someone who can't really appreciate it is confusing, perhaps wasteful, and can even be, in some cases, dangerous. Jesus has a hard word for us here today in Matthew chapter 7, verse 6. He is essentially saying that some people are dogs and some people are pigs. And for all the nice talk that we have about Jesus, for all of the comfortable, complimentary things that we say about Jesus, the fact that he would call some people dogs and some people pigs is not the thing that usually comes to mind. But here he is with a hard word. And really, what he is saying is, I'm going to give you kind of the upfront, what I believe the point is, and we're going to repeat this throughout our message, because I want you to be able to wrap your heart around this truth. And by the end, I think we'll all have it. Here's the truth Jesus is driving at. God has entrusted to you, church, God has entrusted to you glorious truths that must be liberally given but carefully guarded. The truths, the beautiful, invaluable treasures that God has entrusted to you as a Christian and as the church, they must be liberally distributed and given away, but also carefully guarded. Well, let's first look at this saying. Let's back up. The saying, it's a proverb, right? It's a proverb. This proverbial wisdom that Jesus is laying on people. Do not give to dogs what is holy. Do not cast your pearls before pigs. The basic idea on this proverbial wisdom, like this is something that everybody in the world can and should embrace, it almost seems rather obvious. The point is that there are some people in your life who are toxic. There are some people that you will encounter who are so foolish that they are so dangerous that they will abuse any gift or help you offer them and then will turn on you to attack. There are people like this, people that are just poisonous and deadly, and Jesus is saying, in part, avoid those people. Now, that's not all that he's saying, but that's a part of what he is saying. It's the kind of wisdom we read in Proverbs 23. Listen to Proverbs 23:9. Do not speak in the hearing of a fool, for he will despise the good sense of your words. Don't even talk. Like, there are some people who are so foolish, right? These are the ignorant and the arrogant, right? It's an awesome combo you find in somebody. They're ignorant and they're arrogant, right? And so they feel like they have all the answers. They know more than you, but they don't really know how much they don't know. They think they know much more than they really know. And some of these people can become so hard-hearted, ignorant, and combative that it's best to not say anything. It says, listen, don't offer your words to them because they will despise your words. Don't cast your pearls before the pigs. Avoid such people. Now, let's be clear. Jesus and all of Scripture calls us to be generous people. We're supposed to be generous, giving, sacrificial people. We're supposed to give of ourselves, of our time, of our money, and our resources, and we are supposed to liberally share all of the things, especially the spiritual things, that God has given us in Jesus Christ. We're supposed to be givers and generous, and yet, here he's telling us to be guarded as well. We're supposed to be generous, but guarded? I mean, aren't we supposed to be sacrificial? We're supposed to give so much that it hurts. In fact, we're told that when we give away good things and even stand up and share the good news of the gospel, that we will suffer the consequences of it, meaning that we will actually face persecution and hardship. And when we do, we're supposed to suffer well. But Jesus also says there is a time when people are so antagonistic that you must simply walk away. You've got to be careful. It's a proverb. And the context here is important. We don't really know when Jesus first said this. We know that Matthew has this one saying of Jesus, this one sentence wedged in between some of his other teachings. And it comes right after this passage on judging. Now, in an earlier series on this, we looked at this whole passage of judge not lest you be judged. And so I think it might be sermon 8 in this series. You can find it on the website. But in short, Jesus tells us to be careful of judging others in this passage. And a lot of people, they see this or they hear about it and they conclude all judgment is off. Listen to what Jesus says. Verse 1 of the same chapter. Judge not, lest you not be judged. For with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take that speck out of your eye when there is a log in your own eye, you hypocrite? First take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. Let's be clear here. Jesus is not telling anyone, don't judge. It's not what he's saying. He's saying, stop being a hypocrite. He's definitely against harsh judgment, unjust judgment, unfair judgment. He's definitely against quick judgment or superficial judgment. But judgment is good. In fact, he says, listen, your problem is that you're so focused on the small sins, right? The peccadilloes, these small infractions in your brother's life, and you want to help them with that because it may not be the thing that you struggle with. All the while, you're ignoring this major corruption in your life, thinking that you are the one that's best fit to help your friend. Instead, Jesus says, you need to deal with your own garbage. You need to deal with your own garbage, your own sin. You need to learn repentance, and you must learn to practice righteousness by faith so that you are actually able to properly discern and help somebody who is in need. Jesus says, don't judge unrighteously here. Don't judge hypocritically, but Jesus is encouraging us to judge rightly. In fact, in John chapter 7, verse 24, Jesus says, do not judge by appearances, but judge with right judgment. I mean, that's as clear as Jesus can make it for you. Jesus is pro-judgment, not harsh, not superficial, not hypocritical, not negative and just always being down, but right judgment. We must judge righteously, wisely. We must be able to assess what is true and what is false. In fact, Jesus is judging here, isn't he? I mean, he's calling people dogs and hogs. He's saying, like, watch out for those pigs. Watch out for those dogs, and it's not a good thing. I mean, this is a hard word, and he's calling us to do the same. He's calling us. Listen, you must judge and know who the dogs are. You must know who these pigs are. Now, here's what he's not saying. He's not saying, withhold these treasures that God has given to you and withhold them from everyone and only give them to the people who are worthy. He's not saying that because there is no one who is worthy. You're not worthy. I'm not worthy. No one is worthy. That's the whole point of the gospel, the whole point of grace. But he is saying that there is a context in which you are facing opposition. You are facing a fool whose only intention is to destroy you and use your words against you, him, her, you walk away. It's a proverbial saying that has deep truths to it. Calling people dogs and pigs, I love that. I mean, I want to say mean things to people a lot, and I'm not supposed to, and Jesus says a really hard word here. It's not mean. It's a hard word. And I'm like, man, I wish I was Jesus because I could say really hard things and I would never be wrong. But if I try to be creative like that, I insult people and it's sin involved. Jesus says that there are dogs and pigs. Now, this is important. He says that there are dogs. Now, in Jesus' culture and day, dogs were nothing like what we have here. Dogs were unclean scavengers. They were dangerous. They were hungry and they were hostile. If you fed them, you would get bit. Nothing like we love our animals and pamper them. I just read that we spend like over $50 billion a year in pets and in accoutrements and things like spa, and we treat them like they're little people instead of little animals that they are. They're not people, they're animals. And we like, I think every time I talk about my sister and the way she used to treat her cats, the story always gets better because I embellish it. But I'm pretty sure this is close to the truth. I'm pretty sure she used to have chilled Perrier water for her cats or something like that. I don't know. But it was like, she's like, oh, they like it. I'm like, they like toilet water. They don't care. Like, they're animals. They're not people. We treat them like they are the most precious creatures in the world. And don't get me wrong. I love my dog. We have a dog named Lucifer. And we call her Lucy. But we love our dog. She's a sweetie pie. But I know she's a dog. But we don't, even if you have a good perspective on this animal, she's a pet. But in Jesus' day, they were dangerous creatures that you stayed away from. And pigs were kind of what they are today. They're farm animals, dirty and unclean. I mean, the Jews wouldn't want to come into contact with a pig because they would become ceremonially unclean. And dog and pig, these are metaphors for a certain kind of person. They are not a metaphor for the weak. They are not a metaphor for the wandering. It's not a metaphor for the immodest or the immoral. It's not a metaphor for the ungodly or the unbelieving. It's a metaphor for the antagonistic, hateful, and hostile people who are only out to destroy. Those are the people you steer clear of. Now, some of you think like, well, man, I'm ready to go. I'll lay it down. Bring it on, hostile dog. I don't want to go. And you think that you're equipped or you're strong, but Jesus says, listen, here's wisdom. You might be able to out-talk them, but you're not going to prove to be very successful in this situation. Back off, stay away. Focus on those who are more ready to listen. He says that these dogs and pigs are not fit for holy and precious things. Do not give what is holy to dogs. Here's the picture, right? You would take an animal, sacrifice it on the altar to God, and you could then take that holy meat and give it to a scavenging dog, and it would be useless. The dog wouldn't understand what it is, the significance of the sacrifice. It would be inappropriate. Or throwing pearls, it's like giving a treasure chest to a pig. The pig has no idea what it is. Doesn't know what it is. It's not a toy. It's not food. It's not anything. It's useless. It serves no purpose. And the holy and precious things that God has entrusted to us that we are supposed to give liberally and guard well are the precious things of the gospel themselves. He has entrusted to you glorious truths that we are supposed to give liberally but guard carefully. And you guard them by walking away from those foolish and dangerous people. Most of you probably don't have to worry about walking away from foolish and dangerous people because you have nothing to guard if you're not giving anything away. You know what I'm saying, right? That most of us, I'm including myself, most of us don't have to worry about guarding the glorious truths of the gospel because we never risk actually giving them away. We keep them to ourselves. God has given us his truth and we hoard it, we protect it, we are afraid to share it. Because we don't, there's no risk. There's no risk. But if you do begin to share liberally like Jesus wants you to, then you will eventually run into people who are dogs, and they will simply want to take what you've given them and destroy it and turn it around on you. And when that happens, you'll have to walk away. Jesus did this. Jesus is arrested. What a railroad, right? Jesus was arrested, and he goes before Pilate, and Pilate's like, he didn't do anything. And they take him before Herod, and Herod's like, dance, monkey. Do a miracle. Like, Herod just wants him to put on a little show. He has evil intentions. Jesus, in Luke 23, won't even talk to him, won't answer him. He's not going to give what is holy to the dog. Or Paul, in Acts chapter 13. In Acts chapter 13, Paul has been preaching to the people that he loves the most, Israel, the Jews, his people, his brothers, the kinsmen according to the flesh, he says. These are the people he wants to see know Jesus more than anyone because he has affectionate ties and bonds there. But listen to what happens in Acts chapter 13, verse 44. It says, the next Sabbath, almost the whole city gathered to hear the word of the Lord. But when the Jews saw the crowds, they were filled with jealousy and began to contradict what was spoken by Paul and reviled him. And Paul and Barnabas spoke out boldly, saying, you know, it was necessary that the word of God be spoken to you first. Since you thrust it aside and judge yourselves unworthy of eternal life, behold, we are turning to the Gentiles. In other words, listen, I love you guys. I've brought the word to you, but you're spitting in my face. You're spitting on this truth. And so, fine, if you're not going to receive it, then I'm going to turn away and walk. And you know who I'm taking it to? Pagans, because they'll receive it with gladness. Paul turned and walked away. Jesus wouldn't answer Herod. In fact, Jesus even commands us to do this. In Matthew chapter 10, listen, he's sending out the 12. And here's what he says. If anyone will not receive you or listen to your words, right? If anyone will not, if they just are obstinate and resistant, then shake off the dust from your feet when you leave that home or town. Truly, I say to you, it will be more bearable on the day of judgment for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah than for that town. He's saying, listen, you're going to go out to your people and you're going to bring the good news. You're going to give away liberally, but you have to guard it. If they're rejecting it, if they're casting you out, if they want nothing to do with it, then turn and walk. It's a hard word. It doesn't sound like the kind of a thing we would expect Jesus to say. But here he is saying, I've given you glorious truths, not just doctrine. Truths that you are entrusted with to give away liberally and guard carefully. Now, what are these holy things that we have been given? Well, I'm just going to mention three. Three things that God has given us, entrusted to us, to give away, to share, and to guard. Number one, he's given us the gospel. The gospel. The good news, the announcement, Jesus' life, death, and resurrection for sinners. He has given us this truth, this gift that any sinner can be forgiven of all of their sins, their conscience can be cleansed, they can be reconciled to God, and they can be given eternal life now that lasts forever. They can receive this freely by trusting in Jesus Christ. God has given us the gospel, not just for us to be saved, not just so that we can have peace with God, but so that we will, after receiving it, share it. Right? Romans 1:16, what does Paul say? In Romans 1:16, he says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes. In other words, it does not matter how long you've wandered. It does not matter how deep your sin goes, how deep and dark your hatred is, or your bitterness is, or your unfaithfulness has been. God will forgive all of your sins. He will credit you with the righteousness of his Son so that you can stand before God perfect, without blot, without spot, without blemish, without any wrinkle. You will appear before God the Father as perfectly holy as you're intended to be, even though in reality you're not. That's the gift. He forgives us of our sins, credits us with righteousness. This we have now, and this we have received, we've believed, and we are supposed to share it. The gospel is a precious thing because it is not just for us, but for all, and it is truth. It is truth that changes. And so God gives us the gospel, this treasure, this glorious truth, and he gives us, secondly, he gives us his word, his gospel and his word. Now, there's a difference, right? Because the gospel is the good news of Jesus Christ. It's the announcement that Christ has lived, died, and rose again for all who believe. You find the gospel in the Bible, in the word, and he gives us his word. Do you know why it's so precious? Do you know why it's so such a sacred thing? Because the Bible, the scripture, the word of God is where God speaks. He actually speaks. The whole world wants God to speak. We want God to part the heavens and declare, this is right, this is wrong, here is who I really am. Everybody wants it. Every atheist says, if it's real, I wish he would do it. But he has done it. He has spoken perfectly and clearly in his word, and then he has entrusted it to us. He has given it to us to read, to believe, and to share. I mean, truth is revealed in here. In our mysterious postmodern age where you can't have any certainty of any kind of knowledge, everything seems to be up for grabs. And while it's true that there is a lot of mystery and we have boasted for far too long that we know far too much, one thing we can be absolutely confident of, that this is the Word of God and it contains the truth and nothing but the truth. It is trustworthy because God has spoken and he has spoken to us in such a way that we can know him. It is valuable. We are to read it, we are to believe it, and we are to share it. And let me just encourage you, if you're going to share God's word, please don't share it as if it's some kind of political weapon, because it isn't that, okay? It isn't a science textbook, and it isn't a political argument. It is the revelation of God. Everything that it says is true. And the one thing that it drives home again and again and again is what? Well, it tells us who God is and who we are. It tells us the gospel again and again, that God is holy, just, and good, that we are wicked, lost, and damned, but that in Jesus Christ we can be forgiven and restored and received into eternity. Before the face of God, we have all of this and more. The scripture speaks truth, and so we must speak it and share it with others. And you know why else it's such a treasure? It's a treasure because it is a means of grace. That means it is one of the tools that God uses to change your heart and your character. Part of the reason we struggle so much in our lives is because of the sin and corruption that lies within. And the way that God roots that sin out and begins to change us into the people we're supposed to be is through the ministry of the Holy Spirit, through the ministry of the Word. It's a precious gift. You should love that Word. This should be something that you treasure, not just the physical book, but the Word of God itself. He has given us the gospel, right, to share and to guard, his word to share and to guard. And he has given us, get this, the third thing he's given us that is so precious, that is such a treasure, and most of us don't even know what it is. We have it, and we don't even know what it is. He's given us the church. Now, some of us are like, the church, man, the church is like made up of people. I'm like, the word of God is perfect. The gospel is perfect, but the church is filled with people. You people. I mean, man, it's like not just anybody. You got me in the church. I mean, it's like it is constant brokenness. We have visitors here today, and we had in first service as well, and I told them, listen, if you stick around long enough, here's what's going to happen. Somebody's going to hurt your feelings here, and it might be me. Because we're sinners. And sometimes we misspeak, sometimes we're insensitive, but the difference is, here in the church of God, here in this local assembly, we are a family bound together by the blood of Jesus, so that when we do sin against each other, we freely confess and freely forgive. You see, what takes us and brings us all together, even though we come from wildly different backgrounds, is the gospel itself, because in Jesus we've all been, what, adopted as brothers and sisters, brought into the family of God, brought into the kingdom of God. It's why the church is so special. It's why the church is such a sacred thing. You want to see the kingdom of God in its brightest form on earth, then you get into a local church, because outside of that, you're not really going to see it. You'll see small glimpses here and there, but the brightest manifestation of the kingdom of God is found in the local assembly. And I don't just mean on the Lord's Day, though I do mean on the Lord's Day. It's a part of it, right? Because if you want to see the church in its most beautiful form, you will find it on Sunday morning, where we gather together as one people from various backgrounds, places, We're scattered throughout the week in our small groups and in our vocations and in our recreation. But on Sunday, we all come together and we sing with one voice about one Savior. We confess one great triune God. And all of us together singing and feasting on the Word together, that is the brightest and most beautiful picture of the church or the kingdom that we can get at any one given moment. Now, the church is special because we see the kingdom of God. We have this family of faith into which we are all adopted. You know, in the church, there is safety and protection. Not safety from sin, because sin is everywhere. You can't really get away from it. But safety and protection in that the church is supposed to be the one place in the world where you do not have to pretend. I really believe that God has blessed us with that here. That I don't have to pretend to be something I'm not with you guys. You don't have to pretend with me or with anybody else. Here, we can be honest. We can show our struggles, our problems, our warts. I'll tell you, there isn't a week that goes by when I am not confessing my sin to someone or they are not confessing their sin to me, and we are being open and honest about it and seeking help under the helpful hand of God in His Word and in the gospel truth. The church is glorious because when God saves us and brings us into the kingdom, it's not like, oh, well, we were little victims and of sin and badness in the world, and God reached down and rescued us and brought us into this caring little covenant community. It's more like we were rebels against God, and He reached in and rescued us from our rebellion and idolatry. He saves us. He brings us into His covenant. He adopts us as His sons and daughters. And then He says, listen, you see how great my love is. You see how effective my love is for you. Now, go back out and take this love, take this gospel, take this message with you. I'm sending you out to be my ambassadors. You used to hate me, and we used to be at enmity together, but now you are mine, and I am yours, and you're going to go by my divine command and represent me to the world. We are God's missionary agency. These are the holy things that God has entrusted us with, and we're supposed to liberally share them, the gospel, the word, the church, our very lives. But we must also guard them. So here's the question. God entrusts us with these things. What are we doing with them? We'll go back to this idea. Do we share? There will be no need to guard if we are not giving. Are we risking things in our life that we say are valuable, that we consider to be a premium? Are we willing to risk those things in order to share what is most precious? See, you can't use the excuse, well, man, I can't go out there and just give it to the dogs. They're a bunch of dogs, man. They'll just turn on me and devour me. You can't know that until you do it. That's the point. You can't just say, like, oh, that person's dangerous. They, you know, Paul would be a dog, right? Paul would be a dog. Somebody devouring the church. You have to go and present the gospel freely, indiscriminately to everyone. You've got to share the truth that God has given you freely with everyone to see what God is going to do. Only then can you encounter whether or not a person is going to be dangerously obstinate to the truth. And then you walk away. Are we willing to risk the relationship? Are we willing to risk our status, our reputation? I'm not telling you guys that everybody needs to be an evangelist in the sense of track bombing and, like, you know, witnessing it to every person that you meet in every given locale that you go to. Some people are wired that way. Do your thing. I'm not wired that way. I will talk to people whenever I have a conversation, a natural conversation. We will wind up talking about important things, and that usually gets to the gospel fairly quickly. And then some people are even further from that. Like, the public conversation is really hard for them, and they wait till the relationship is really developed. But we are all called to testify to the truth when the opportunity is presented. What are we doing with these things that God has entrusted us with? And if we begin to use them, if we begin to give them away, we will have to be careful, because we will face dogs who want to devour us. And here's the thing. Church, this is true. You have received these precious gifts. The gospel, the word, the church, and so much more. But if you don't know Jesus, and you don't have these things, maybe you're wondering, Is he calling me a dog? I might be. I won't know until I talk to you about Jesus, I guess. But the real point is this, that even if you are an unbeliever and you've been hostile to the faith, maybe you've just been questioning, regardless, God still extends the offer of these holy things, these glorious truths. He extends them in offer to you. And you can have them. They're invaluable. They're more precious than gold or silver, but they're free. Jesus says, you can have all of this: forgiveness of sins, eternal life, adoption into the family. You can have these spiritual precious gifts, the presence of God with you now and forever, and so much more. But you must, Jesus says, you must believe in me. You have to deny yourself. Stop considering yourself to be number one. Stop considering yourself to be the effective, functional God in your life. And believe on me. Trust in me, and I will save you, and all of your sins will be forgiven, and all of these holy things will be yours. And when you have them, you must share them, that others might come to have what you've been given as well. Pastor Pat's going to come and pray for us. The band will lead us again in song. But let's use this as a time to commit ourselves to the Lord. Wherever we've been, let's commit ourselves to the Lord with the eager anticipation that His grace will multiply in our lives.